leaders, let's do a gut check on this one. Be a leader and not a boss, right? We have to really want success for other people. We have to ask for their ideas. We have to really believe in other people before they believe in themselves. We have to show our gratitude for them. Be a leader and not a boss.
You're listening to the Fitness Business Podcast. We'd like to thank this month's premier sponsor, OneFitStop, the complete fitness business software perfect for studios, gyms, and clubs. To find out more, go to onefitstop.com. Welcome back for another week of the show. We are on the eve of the 2017 Idea World Summit, and based on how many people are going along, it sounds like it is going to be huge. As it happens, our guest today is one of the presenters at this year's event, Trina Gray. Trina is the owner of the award-winning Bay Athletic Club in Alpena, Michigan. She's a seasoned presenter and writer for the Idea Health and Fitness Association and has helped shape the Idea World business programming. She's a self-made millionaire fitness entrepreneur who has helped redefine the industry. She created the Corporate Fitness Challenge program, which is sold worldwide, and blazed a trail with her partnership with Team Beachbody. She's the founder of an online coaching group for fit pros in the US and Canada, and she's helping fitness professionals earn their worth in the industry and live a life of purpose and freedom without burnout. She's joining us today to chat about best practices for health club. We discuss qualities of great leaders, and she shares the three questions you need to ask to identify your ideal customer. Before we transition over to this week's interview, I wanted to do a shout out to our podcast partner, OneFitStop, for all their support. We highly recommend all fitness professionals go to onefitstop.com to find out how their software will enable you to take control of your day-to-day management in your fitness business. OneFitStop's scheduling, client management, programming, and payment collection tools will set your business up for success. First and foremost, Trina, welcome along to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I was saying to you earlier that I feel like you're a bit of a Wonder Woman because you do so many different things. And as our listeners would have heard from your bio, you have a very, very busy schedule and a full plate. So I thought it's quite fitting for you to start today by maybe sharing a couple of apps or systems or rituals that you use to stay on top of things and not get overwhelmed.
Well, that's an absolutely relevant and such an appropriate question, because I imagine that, like most of the listeners out there, we have a tendency to live a rat race kind of life, that life can just pass us by, days run us over, and we live in a state of overwhelm. So I do have a few, I think, really relevant and practical tips for the listeners that have absolutely worked in my own life that I believe if you listen to and implement, they can improve your daily happiness as well. So number one, Chantal, I use a color-coded Google Calendar. So whatever calendaring system you use is fine, but listen to this. I color-code it and I designate what I'm doing in my day by my six roles that I have in life. So for example, we all wear many hats. Mine happen to be wife, mom, manager of myself, a club owner, an online business coach, and a personal trainer. So when you look at my calendar, I have my days and my weeks blocked off with my roles. So I can pull up a week and look and see, is something in my life completely falling off the grid? Is something in my life overpowering my life right now? So I'm combining a couple lessons here to make this quick and easy for your listeners. I identify six roles in my life. I assign them each a color and they show up that way in my calendar. So number two, I take that same concept of the roles in my life and I apply that to my to-do list. I happen to use Wunderlist, lots of great online to-do lists out there, but I want a simple, organized online to-do list. that coordinates with my calendar and my 6 roles in life. So I can simply pull up mom and see what is it that I have on my schedule that week for my kids. I can pull up club owner and I can see what has to happen this week in that role. So it keeps things organized in my head and in my life. Lastly, I think a huge tip for fighting overwhelm is this. Chantal, if you looked at my phone, I would look like the most unpopular girl on the block because I have absolutely 0 notifications on my smartphone. I have everything turned off always. So I never have the feeling of I'm so behind. I have 7 messages and 50 emails and 32 inbox messages. I never see it unless I specifically set aside the time to go look at it. So yes, on occasion, do I miss an important call or message? Certainly, but do I save myself hours of distraction and waste by shutting off notifications and only going to my smartphone when I intend to use it?
Trina, I absolutely love that concept, and I haven't heard anyone say that before. And as you're talking through, I can relate to that stress of feeling as though so overwhelmed because you know that sitting on your smartphone is the notifications of all the things that you haven't yet done. And I think that stress and that worry causes us to think, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And rather than, as you say, just dealing with things as when you choose to deal with them and when you're ready to deal with them. So I think that's really great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. And I think it's relevant to recognize when that lesson hit me and why I kept it. So just really quickly, Chantal, I was on a vacation where I was choosing to be unplugged. I had the treat to be able to take some time off and go to Turks and Caicos. And I wanted to be unplugged, but I wanted to be able to use my phone for the camera and the video. So I turned off all my notifications, fully intending to turn them all back on when I landed back in the States. I never did. And that was 1.5 years ago. So life changed when I realized that I don't want to live other people's agendas all the time by having their agendas in my face all the time. So I certainly serve a lot of people and help a lot of people, but I do it in a way that serves my day and my life. So that's where the idea came from vacation. And I realized, gosh, that's not a bad way to live. I should make this a daily habit.
So I follow Trina's lead, and for the past 6 weeks, I've been notification free on my social media accounts, even Instagram. And she was so right. It makes a huge difference to my stress levels, I've got to admit, and to my time management. Now, I will be totally honest, I haven't yet had the courage to switch off my email notifications, but I figure, you know, one step at a time. So let's now rejoin the interview where I asked Trina to share some of the challenges of health club ownership.
Well, as all your listeners know, there are many challenges to owning a health club. So I'm going to simplify this down to just a couple. Ones that I think will speak to people, will speak to their emotion, and you'll feel this tugging at your heartstrings, I bet. Number one, I think one of the main challenges is there are so many balls in the air, from taking care of your team to bringing in new members to taking care of existing members to, oh my goodness, we also have to deliver fitness. We have to plan for strategic growth, right? So there's so many things that we struggle, you know, just to keep our own head above water. We're leading others, we're serving others, we're growing others, we're taking care of the bottom line, we're paying off debt, we're making money, we're making decisions. So I think it's really the getting pulled in so many directions and having so many different balls in the air. So a couple of tips that directly relate to that is really acknowledging that to be successful, we have to see ourselves beyond trainers, beyond fit pros, beyond technicians. We need to see ourselves and equip ourselves as CEOs. So CEOs have a different level of calm and confidence. CEOs are advisors. CEOs are strategic, right? We want to be someone that's calm and confident, that's going somewhere, that's making decisions, addressing conflict, and moving on, right? We also need to make sure that to take care of all the many balls in the air, that we are developing other leaders around us. And I know that sounds so obvious, Chantal, but it really gets overlooked. People tend to want to build a business around themselves. And I'm going to encourage you to build other leaders around you so you can likely spend more time on strategic planning and growth and less time putting out fires. So seeing yourself as a CEO, building a team of leaders around you will help you deal with all the different balls in the air.
Trina, I might just say there, I like the picture that you painted about the importance of having that calm approach and calm sort of environment. And I think that calm and control is a great representation of a wonderful leader within a business.
I absolutely agree. And I think it really hit me, Chantel, probably. I've owned a club for 11 years. And about 9 years ago, I had one of my employees say to me, "I'm so sick of hearing you talk about dreaming big. If I hear it one more time, I want to throw up." And I said, "What? What do you mean by that?" And she said, "Your life is crazy. You're always running around. You're always late. You're always rushing somewhere. I don't want that." And it was that absolute aha moment in my life. And that woman is still on my team, by the way. This is now 9 years later, one of the leaders of my team, one of my closest friends in life. And I realized that I was putting out this perception of being so important and so busy and so rushed and so everywhere. Who would want to follow that? And who would that inspire? So by me, honestly, becoming the more calm and confident leader that I wanted to be really elevated my team and my business.
Yeah, it's so important. It's a good reminder to all of us that how much the people around us observe how you behave within the working environment. So thank you very much for sharing that. Are there any other challenges or tips that you want to give us around owning a health club?
Yeah, you know, one that I think will really speak to a lot of people is just the struggle to be attracting and retaining clients. I mean, this is just a bottom line problem, right? That we don't want to have studios and clubs with revolving doors. We don't always want to be running a membership campaign or drive, right? Because it's taking us away from serving the clients and members who have put their trust in us. It takes us away from serving our team and our employees and growing them. So when you're always looking to fill the pipeline and bring people in the door and pound the pavement, you're really not taking care of your business. So what's my tip on that? My tip is really, truly understanding who your ideal client is. Now, I know you've done other podcasts on this that people can dive deeper into. My tip on this, Chantel, is really understanding your client avatar and knowing who you're talking to and what their problems are and how you solve them. So for example, today in a meeting with my staff, we talked about our avatar, working parents. That's who we serve. So every time a new idea for a class or a program or a boot camp or even an equipment investment or a certification or a training, anytime one of those decisions crosses my plate, I'm able to run it through this litmus test of, does this serve our client avatar? Are we helping working parents like Eric and Kristen, Todd and Stephanie? And we have, you know, names of our ideal clients and they're real people in our club. So it makes it a lot easier for us to attract and retain clients because at the very foundation, we know who we want to attract, what problems we're solving for them. And if we do those two things, we will bring them in and we will retain them because we will be valuable and relevant in their lives.
I'm just going to jump in here. We have done quite a few shows where we talk about avatars, and what I'll do is put links in today's show notes of those shows. But Trina has a great super fast exercise that we can all do for identifying your ideal client. Take a listen.
This is it. Who comes the most, who spends the most, who refers the most. That truly took me 1 hour of investigation into my business, right? Who comes the most? We looked at a printout of our top check-ins, you know, for the past year. Who comes the most? All right, we got that list. Who spends the most? That was easy. Who refers the most? Of course, if you're running a business, you're tracking your referrals through some kind of rewards program, I hope, and rewarding those referrals. So it was easy for us to identify those names. And we very easily saw that the thing that they have in common are top members are working parents. Right. And so it made it a lot easier for us to address our social media to them, to talk about, hey, we can squeeze in a workout between work and the soccer field. Hey, we can give you tips for creating a healthy family dinner tonight. Right. So we can be really directly talking to them because we know who they are.
Okay. So there is everyone's challenge for today. If you don't already know the answer to those three questions, then spend that hour sometime today and work out that information, because that's three really quick, really great examples of identifying your ideal customer or your avatar. Now, great. Trina, as a fitness business leader, can you perhaps give us some advice for other owners and managers to ensure that they lead a really successful fitness business?
Absolutely. So this one I took a little bit higher level, and instead of getting into the details of, you know, how to schedule and, you know, what kind of software to use, and instead of getting into the trenches, I wanted to talk a little bit, I think, in a tougher way. I want to challenge the listeners that, do you have these three things dialed in? There are three simple, quick, but incredibly relevant things for leaders and businesses. So number one, do you have heart and armor? It's a phrase I use a lot when I'm coaching fitness professionals. And this is what it means. To be a successful owner or manager, you have to have heart. You need to be empathetic, truly care. You have to understand that we are human beings working with other human beings. They have lives, they have emotion, right? So cold leaders don't have a lot of raving fans, okay? But the flip side of that, Chantal, is that people will stab you in the back. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm saying, let's be real. People will open up down the road. People will join a competitor. People will break your heart in ways they don't mean to by having changes in their life, getting married, getting divorced, having kids, moving, right? So you have to have some ability to be tough and move on when things change in your business. Are you willing to have heart, have empathy for your teammates and for your staff, but have armor so when things do go not as planned, you can regroup and move on? So heart and armor is a big one. Number two for me is the ability, this is another phrase that I've coined that I love, is the ability to grind and unwind. What that means to me, and it's, I have it, you know, literally I had a t-shirt made about it to remind myself that as an entrepreneur, our work is literally never done. As a studio owner, manager, whatever, work is never done. You got to be able to get over this. So what can you do? You can get in, work hard, focus, and then get out. You have to grind and then unwind. Why do you need to unwind? Because we can't wait until the business is exactly how we want it to be, successful, thriving, the perfect team, that every member is happy to the nth degree. We can't wait for that to happen to live our lives. We got into the business of fitness because it's rewarding, because it feels good, because it gives us a life of joy and purpose. So you can't wait until everything is ideal to unwind. You can't wait until you're retired to unwind. So it is fitness, and being a studio owner attracts workaholics. So I'm encouraging you to work hard and then check out, grind and unwind. And then last one, simple, but really, leaders, let's do a gut check on this one. Be a leader and not a boss, right? We have to really want success for other people. We have to ask for their ideas. We have to really believe in other people before they believe in themselves. We have to show our gratitude for them. Be a leader and not a boss.
We have been blessed on the show to have been joined by many great business leaders from the fitness industry. So in today's show notes, you're going to find three of my favorite past interviews when we spoke about leadership. So just pop over to fitnessbusinesspodcast.com and take a listen. We'll be back in just a second with Trina's advice on best practices for fitness owners. But first, here's a message from one of our podcast partners. MyZone is a wearable technology platform that leverages personal goal setting, gamification, and social platforms to motivate your members. To find out more, go to myzone.org.
Well, this first one goes right into what we were just talking about, which is, you know, being a leader, not a boss. So tip number one, if you want to be a leader, not a boss, tip number one is to take care of your team. And if you want specific examples of what I believe I do to take care of my team, is I communicate often and I communicate simply. And I know sometimes we just want the very practical takeaways. Let me give you some examples. We have an email that goes out every week called the Fit Loop. It tells my whole team what is happening in the business, how they can participate, what they need to know. A Fit Loop goes out every single Friday. We have a team meeting for my leaders and managers every single Tuesday, right? We cover what's happening on a team. We talk about what camps are happening. We talk about revenue opportunities. We put out any fires that are happening. So I have regular ongoing communication with everybody. We have a thriving private Facebook page for our team. This is where we are celebrating people's classes and clients and camps. We're celebrating their successes. We're doing birthday shout outs. We are sharing best practices with each other, music lists. We're sharing our favorite move of the week. It is really a very thriving environment. So part of taking care of your team really is communicating often, communicating simply. We meet quarterly as a team in what we call a power hour. Our power hours are all about a team bonding experience. We have done everything, Chantel, from carve pumpkins to make posters to film commercials to do photo contests all over town. I mean, people want to be on my team when they see what we do. We always have some personal development and growth opportunities in every email I send out, every Facebook post in the group, every staff meeting, every power hour includes some ability for them to upgrade themselves. So personal development runs rampant at Bay Athletic Club. All right. So that's one best practice of managing a facility. Number two is have a clear way to collect and address feedback from your clients and members. So what I'm not talking about right now is having a comment box in the back corner collecting dust, right? That's not inspiring. That's not telling members that you really want to hear from them. So we have a huge, big, painted, bold, beautiful comment box right on the front desk when you walk in. You actually cannot not see it, right? There are stacks of pieces of paper and pens and the very easy ability to share their feedback with us. We look at it every single Tuesday. There's a box full of comments. And it might be little to them, but we read it and we address it immediately. Anything from please remind people not to wear perfume in yoga class to can you add another yoga class in the evening? Can you add another fan to the studio? It's getting warm right now. So these little things go a long way for us to show our members that we're listening. Another way that we collect and address feedback in a meaningful regular way is we have surveys, electronic surveys. You can use SurveyMonkey, anything you want. We survey after every single one of our boot camps or specialty programs, which is all month long. We are always collecting what was your favorite workout, what was your least favorite workout, how could we improve, what did you love about what the trainers did, what suggestions do you have for future camps. We are truly in the business of collecting feedback and surveying our members at every corner. One final tip, and I think this really kind of covers how to limit your stress as an owner. If you took this one tip from me, I think that this year can go better for all of us. We need to develop a deeper bench of talent. And here's the reality of why. When I look at the last 11 years of owning a club and I try to identify what were the most stressful times, what were the times where I would have wanted to throw in the towel if I didn't truly believe in what I was doing? They're the times when the unpredictable happens. Your shining star trainer gets married or divorced. They have a child. They have a breakdown. You never know. You can't have your business built on the whim of your employees and teammates' personal lives. So for me, developing a deep bench of talent, recruiting and looking for people within my business who might want to be in the fitness industry and start that process, you know, recruiting people to move back to my community or looking for people in my community who want this career. I'm always developing trainers and instructors. I am always looking for shining stars to work as fitness assistants at our front desk. I'm always looking for the super friendly, amazing young man or woman who wants to work in my club. And I'm always developing a deep bench of talent because I want to minimize the impact of people's personal lives on my business and on my life.
I think that's a really important one, Trina. And we have spoken on the show before about HR and recruitment and building a team. But as you mentioned, having that reserve bench and really always keeping an eye out for those potential superstars that would fit within our business is very, very important, because I think the reality is that all too often we don't hit the go button on the new employee until the old one is pretty much out the door. And then it becomes a panic to replace them and to find someone that's going to be a suitable replacement. And the last thing you want is to put someone into the role that you don't feel is a good, you know, an excellent fit for your business. So having that reserve bench, I think, is great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Trina, thank you so, so much for coming on today. It was such a pleasure having you on the show. And thank you for sharing your expertise and your experience with all of our listeners.
Well, thank you for the platform. It's fun to pay it forward.
You can catch Trina at Ideal World this week, happening in Las Vegas. She's presenting on best practices of club management, and she's also hosting a panel with club and studio experts.
Get ready for this week's bonus segment, your extra injection of information, education, and inspiration to strengthen your fitness business.
I'm talking today to the CEO and founder of One Fit Stop, Jaron Azen. Welcome back to the show, Jaron.
Thanks, Chantel. Great to be back.
Now, 2017 has been a huge year for One Fit Stop. Do you want to tell us what's happening in the second half of the year for you?
Sure. Yeah, we've got the Ideal World Convention coming up, and we've got a booth, booth number 504. So please head past and come visit us. We'd love to show you One Fit Stop in more detail. And we've just launched our apps for clients and members. You can download the app on the app stores on iOS and Android by typing in One Fit Stop. The apps allow you to your clients and members to go and book classes, request sessions, purchase memberships, and stay up to date with your business by communicating via messages and push notifications.
That sounds phenomenal, Jaron. Do you think we could get a screenshot of the app so that we can include it in the show notes?
Definitely. I will send those through.
Excellent. We'll make sure we include that so everyone can jump over to fitnessbusinesspodcast.com and check out the new One Fit Stop mobile app. What else is happening with you guys?
Chantel, we've got some really exciting new features coming out on the platform. The first is resource booking. So to allow you to upload rooms that you have in facilities and plot where you have bikes or other resources that can be booked when a client or member books a class. We've also got payroll features coming out with all the different payroll options that you would ever need in your fitness business, and multi-location support launching very, very shortly.
Well, Jaron, it sounds like the second half of the year is going to be just as big as the first half. I hope you have a fantastic time at IDEA. And just a quick reminder, if people are going along, it is booth 504. Did I get that right?
That's the one.
504. So make sure you stop by and say hi to Jaron and the team from One Fit Stop. So thank you so much for joining us today and giving us an update on everything that's happening with One Fit Stop.
Thanks, Chantel.
Precor Quickfire 5.
You might recall a few weeks ago we had Chris Stevenson on show 110 talking about how to improve your Net Promoter Score. It was actually our fastest ever show to hit 1,000 downloads. And as promised in that show, I'm going to be bringing you part two of the interview with Chris, where we chat about responding to member feedback and generating revenue from ancillary services. Now, because Chris has already shared his pre-call quick five answers with us, I thought this week we'd do something a little different. And I'm going to share with you a few of my favorite recent books that I've been reading and the podcast that I'm listening to at the moment. So I'm going to go right ahead and call this the pre-call quick five professional development edition. How does that sound? So the first one I want to tell you about, which is kind of a bit of a geeky side, which doesn't come out too often for me, but I really enjoy listening to the Perpetual Traffic podcast. If you're not familiar with it, it's all about digital marketing and it does get pretty detailed in some of the interviews, but there's some really great information in there. So for anyone that likes kind of really deep diving into digital marketing, then that's a good one to check out. Another one that I really enjoyed, which was recommended by one of our podcast guests, are the TED Talks. They're only about 10 minutes in total, so they're really short, really quick. They're good to listen to, you know, when you've got a spare 10 minutes or when you're doing something. And it's just a nice quick hit of inspiration, and mostly or pretty much all of them from outside the industry. So it's a good one to check out. The book that I'm reading at the moment, and it's also, and he's going to be a guest on the show coming up, is by an author by the name of Mark Schaefer, and it's called Known. And Known is all about how to become known in the digital age. So how to build your personal profile, Very, very interesting. Some great case studies that he shares in there. So if building your profile is something that's of interest to people, then make sure you check that book out and take a listen out for when I interview Mark in the next few months. Now, I have to thank Eugene from Jim Click Media for this next one, because Eugene sent me the book Unshakable by Tony Robbins. I'm sure that a number of you would have read this already. It's all around finances, probably managing your finances, understanding the importance of investment and share market. Really interesting read, not something that I would have traditionally read, except I went on holidays and I had some free time and Eugene had sent me this book. So I found it really interesting to read, very different. It is, for anyone that's not finance minded, and I'm not, he's made it very easy to consume and easy to understand. So if that's something that you're interested in understanding more about, then definitely check out Unshakable by Tony Robbins. And the last kind of professional development resource that I'm really enjoying at the moment, and I'm sure a number of you probably already checked this out, are the Mari Smith Facebook Live videos. She is hilarious to watch and very informative, and always seems to have the latest updates on what's happening with Facebook Live. So I enjoy tuning into her live videos and hearing what's going on with the latest updates from Facebook. So that's a bit of an update from me. We're calling it the Pre-Call Quickfire 5 Professional Development Edition. And as always, I'd love to hear what you guys are watching, listening to, where you're getting your education from, inside or outside the industry. So you know you can email me at any time at chantal@fitnessbusinesspodcast.com. Thank you so much to every single one of you for including the Fitness Business Podcast as part of your weekly professional development. I would love you to share the show with your team. Just send them to fitnessbusinesspodcast.com. And don't forget, all of the resources, the links, and the transcripts for today's show can also be found at fitnessbusinesspodcast.com. Thank you also to all of our partners for their support and to our foundation partner, Active Management. Go to fitnessbusinesspodcast.com/active for a free business development ebook. That's everything for this week. I will see you next week. And remember, what you leave behind is not what's engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others.